Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Another Titans player has tested positive for COVID-19. So once again, not good news on the Titans front. We'll continue to react to that all show long. But now looking ahead to a big matchup this weekend between the Vols and Georgia. And to help us do more of that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Seth Emerson from The Athletic, who covers the Bulldogs. Seth, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing okay.
So, Seth, what do you make of this matchup this weekend between Tennessee and Georgia? How do you kind of view this matchup heading into it?
You know, I find myself, weirdly, from Georgia's standpoint, a little more worried about it than I was going into the Auburn game. And that's not to say that Tennessee is better than Auburn. It's just from a situation standpoint, Georgia was coming off such a flat performance, at least for the first half. They pulled away in the second half when Stetson Bennett went in there. But the performance they were coming off at Arkansas just had all the earmarks of a team that was going to make a big week one to week two jump. And they did that. And so now here comes Tennessee, which also looks like they're doing better. They're a better team. But Georgia has beat them pretty soundly the last few years. So is there the potential of the trap game sense? I mean, I don't think people here are looking, at least players and coaches, I don't think they're looking ahead to Alabama next week, but maybe some people are. It's more the hangover of the Auburn game. Like, can you keep this going from week two? I still go into it expecting Georgia to win, but I see more reason to worry from Georgia's standpoint than I did against Auburn.
So how much of a folk hero is Stetson Bennett the fourth already, Seth? And is he the guy? I mean, are we going to see him just commanding that offense the rest of this season?
You know, I'm working on my mailbag for tomorrow and answering that very question. We don't know. I mean, honestly, he has a better chance than any of the other guys right now because he is the guy and because there are enough questions about Dwan Mathis, who obviously struggled in his debut, and about JT Daniels, not just his health, but, you know, if he's cleared to play, if he was that much better, then I think he would be playing. So, yeah, I mean, I think you don't really have much choice but to roll with it right now, see what he can do. And if they can get through Tennessee, which is easier said than done, but maybe you get through Tennessee just with what you've done so far and with your defense being that stifling, strangulating defense, it actually sets up well to have Alabama be that measuring stick game for the quarterback position. Give Stetson Bennett the start there. And if he does well enough, then he's your guy the rest of the way. Because are you going to face a better defense than Alabama until either the SEC championship or beyond that, you get to a playoff? I don't think so. But if he struggles against Alabama, then you can say maybe, all right, yep, it was fun. It was a nice little run, but we need to see what one of the other guys with higher upside potentially brings. But, yeah, I mean, you know, right now he's the guy. They went from playing coy with what they were doing at quarterback and, you know, saying everything about competition, blah, 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 to after the game, it was against Auburn, it was pretty clear that Bennett was the guy right now, but he's the guy.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Seth, obviously a lot of attention on Cade Mays in this game, transferring from Georgia now at Tennessee. Do you think there is bad blood at all between Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart, given how Cade Mays ended up at Tennessee?
I don't think so. I get the sense that with all these Alabama guys, that it's just an understood – it's just an understanding that you're going to do what you're going to have to do. There's a competitive element to it. You know, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart had a seemingly ugly back and forth when Kirby Smart first got back to Georgia in 2016 over Maurice Smith, who wanted to grad transfer from Alabama to Georgia. And that got ugly publicly. Not so much with Kirby and Nick attacking each other, but Murray Smith and his mother making some public statements and allegations, and the SEC eventually gave them the waiver. But they you know, they were fine. And I think that in this case, Kirby probably thinks that Pruitt was behind the scenes, maybe pulling a few of the levers here. But Pruitt also probably thinks that Kirby would do the same thing. And Kirby probably knows that he would do the same thing. I mean, look, this was going on a few weeks ago when Pruitt made that comment about, you know, Kirby's so competitive that I've never seen someone emerge from the woods with his golf ball as much as he does. And Kirby had a good-natured shot back. I mean, like, they still golf together. I don't know if they have, like, recently, but that wasn't the icy kind of no comment that you get when you ask Kirby about Dan Mullen. They used to be pretty close. Their families were close, and maybe they will eventually again, but I think there's been some fissures in that relationship. But I think among the Alabama guys, like I said, there's just kind of – everyone just understands this is part of the deal. This is part of the business.
And Seth and David Ubben, who covers the Vols for us at theathletic.com, they've got a great story, kind of the whole saga of Cade Mays going from recruitment to now. Very interesting. I learned a lot in that piece. And I wanted to ask you just about Cade on the field, Seth. I will say I basically just watched him last week in Knoxville, and you know, I understand it's Missouri, so the competition level is about to change a lot. But for a guy coming in like that, I was awfully impressed with him, both in pass protection, run blocking. He played mostly right tackle. But what is your feeling on him as a player, and do you think there's any sort of advantage for him, I guess, knowing these guys so well? And how do you view that? To me, that's the glamour matchup here Saturday, is that offensive line and that Georgia defensive front, which has its own share of future pros.
Yeah, you know, we asked some Georgia players earlier in the week about what it's going to be like seeing him back, and Malik Herring was a defensive end, a senior defensive end was one of them, and he said it's just going to be like old times going against him in practice. And the old lineman, who, you know, these guys were Cade's teammates and brothers in arms on the O-line, they seem to kind of have the same attitude that I was talking about earlier, that this is a business, and, you know, he made a business decision. I think it'd be different if Cade himself had said some of the things that have been said, like the toxic environment thing was his family's lawyer saying it. Tom Mars has said some stuff. Cade has just kind of laid low, and I still think there's going to be a little bit of bad blood that there would naturally be if a guy transferred and did it under those circumstances where it wasn't playing time. I mean, look, Justin Fields came back here in August for a preseason practice before, you know, the Big Ten decided to reverse course, and Justin Fields was welcome back. You know, they let him back in, and he and Kirby, you know, had a moment on the, you know, sidelines just saying, hey, how you doing and everything, because Justin Fields transferred from here because of playing time, no matter what the, you know, the public stuff that was said to get him eligible. But Cade was going to be the starting left tackle this year, so different deal. I could see there being a little bit of that, and this program at Georgia consistently uses whatever they can as motivation. Oftentimes I've seen them take comments by other players completely out of context and other coaches completely out of context and twist it in a way to use it as bulletin board material. And so they probably will hear, but I don't know that anybody's going to be like going after Cade's legs or anything like that.
Seth, last thing for you here. We've seen awfully impressive first couple of weeks out of this Georgia defense. Could this be the most talented defense that Kirby's ever had in his time at Georgia?
Probably as good as last year. I mean, they were second in the country last year when the season ended in yards per play, and that was with absorbing Joe Burrow and LSU. That was the one game that they got – they got handled, and they did that to everybody. And I actually asked Kirby the other night, like, did you take that as they're just doing that to everybody? And just keep going with what we're doing? Or did you say, like, other teams are going to try and do that to you too, and you have to adjust? And he basically said it was the former, which is that was LSU and a special year. And I think we'll see, because Mac Jones and Alabama look like, and Najee Harris look like they're going to be a handful too. So ask me again after they play Alabama. Maybe a bigger test for Georgia's defense than it is for Georgia's offense.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. Hey, Seth, thanks for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
absolutely. Seth. Going to be a very interesting matchup. We'll see if Tennessee has what it takes this weekend to stay in that game. When we come back, we'll continue to react to some Titans breaking news. Another positive COVID-19 test. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 102.5 The Game.